Come on. No, come on. Let's go. Let's go. Hey. 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 Come on, Jenna, go. Let's go. Bad girl. Let's go.
I'm both freaked out and kind of turned on at the same time, not just by those women, but by women in general. You know, they're kind of scary. And in fact, you know, you think that's the craziest a woman can be? I mean, she's actually barking, but have you ever heard a woman nag? That's a little bit worse. Anyway, if you noticed what I was seeing, she has a very big bark. It's true. What's going on with women? They're out of control. They're crazy. They're on all fours, on leashes, barking at each other. Things are going to shit. And to talk about all the insanity, I have two guests with me today. I have Aldo Bitazzoni. He is here with me in the studio. Welcome to Slightly Offensive.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me on, man.
You like the COC in your face. You have confetti of color. We're very happy to have you. We also have AJ Wilms for the first time, political commentator. Welcome to Slightly Offensive.
Thank you for having me, Elijah.
Yeah, I'm very happy. Did you give him some confetti of color, Savannah? Thank you.
There we go.
Thank you. The COC in the face. It's a very important part of this entire show. We wouldn't have Slightly Offensive without the COC blasting in the faces of our friends. I'm also joined by the lovely Savannah Hernandez, who is here with me, our resident producer and reporter. Savannah, how are you doing?
Doing good, Lige. Doing good. Our set's working today. It's a beautiful day.
Yes. My name is Elijah Schaefer. I'm your top 17 host here at Slightly Offensive, the best, worst show on Blaze TV. I always have confetti of color. Everyone knows I'm a big fan of the COC. It's not a closeted thing. Anyway, before we jump into today's story, we have a lot to talk about, including everyone's gay and retarded. But before we get into the gay retard stuff, Savannah, if you can go to my screen for a second, I just want to remind people that David Hogg still exists. If you guys don't remember David Hogg, he's most known for maybe not being at a school during a certain event, but also, most importantly, for just being a fan. David Hogg, we just got to jump into this, and we're going to talk about more in just a second. But also, let me tell you something. If you don't want to see light, right, if you're tired of seeing all the stuff on the show, I got to talk to you about 3-day blinds. Now, there's a better way that you can buy blinds and window treatments. Now, I just moved into a house, and what I noticed is the blinds sucked. The light came in, and everybody knows that the light of Christ is great, but the light of the sun when you're trying to sleep on a Saturday morning is not. You don't want people looking in your house at night. And also, blinds are tacky. They're cheap. They're made of plastic. But obviously, when you want something that's quality, that looks good, that complements your house, that your girlfriend or your wife, your partner, whatever, likes them, maybe you like them, you deserve to like your blinds. You got to listen to me about 3-day blinds. They are a leading manufacturer and retailer of custom window treatments in the US. And right now, they are running a buy one, get one 50% off deal. They came to my house to show me what I needed. It was so cool. They just made an appointment, very personal, sent me a text message. I don't know about blinds. You guys might not know this, but I'm not an expert on many things. Blinds is also something I've never known literally anything about. So if you don't know anything, but you want something that's amazing for your apartment or your home, they came to my house. They showed me what I needed. It was free. It was so helpful. I didn't have to stress on the setup. They were with me every step of the way. Their expert team handles all the heavy lifting, the design, because God knows that I got to keep these muscles for lifting weights, not blinds. They measured everything, installed it so that you can just sit back, relax. And basically, you go from an ugly window to a good window. It looks amazing. If you have any questions, they answer everything. What blinds you should get to cover your arched windows? Do you need cordless blinds? What blinds are better? Roller shades or Roman shades? I don't know what any of these things are, but they help me figure it out. They have an unrivaled selection, no matter your unique need, from motorization, which is like pretty cool. I didn't go that fancy, but maybe you do. And home automation to room darkening and child safety. That's really cool. 3D Blinds has a window treatment for you. Choose from thousands of options that fit your budget or style with actual samples. That means no guessing on what your blinds will look like. This is a brand that you can trust. They've been around for 40 years with thousands of reviews. Anyway, guys, if you want to make your windows look freaking legit, if you want to keep that sun out of your house, if you want to keep people from creeping and looking in, it's weird. It's 2022. People are strange. Right now, you can get 3-day blinds. Buy one, get one 50% off deal on custom blind shades and drapery for free. No charge, no obligation consultation. Just head to 3dayblinds.com/offensive. That's 3, the number 3, DAYBLINDS.com/offensive and use my code offensive. That's right. Buy one, get one 50% off. Head to 3dayblinds.com/offensive and use my promo code offensive. One last time, that's 3DAYBLINDS.com/offensive. So I do need some 3-day blinds on my eyes, although David Hogg, I just think he, you know, I always think that he can't dig himself into a deeper hole. And
I don't know. I think he looks pretty good, to be honest. It looks like he's been working out the legs, squatting. He looks very toned.
I think he looks like transgender Bigfoot in this. It's incredible. I've actually met David Hogg.
Have you really?
Yeah, I shook his hand. He came to my college to do a speech, and I asked him, I'm like, 95% of guns in Chicago are used that are used in crimes are illegally obtained. So, like, how will banning guns help? And then he just said something like, well, America was founded on white supremacy, and so is the Second Amendment. I mean, he's really bought into the whole liberal stuff, and not good.
Do you know I trolled David Hogg in person one time?
Really? What happened?
Do you guys, if you're new to Slightly Offensive, you might already hear the story. Savannah, you know about the story?
I don't know about this story.
So somebody wrote me and was like, hey, I'm at this political activist thing in a backyard in LA. Guess who's here? And they sent me a picture and they're like, and it was David Hogg. And I was like, no way. So I was like, I got a team and I was like, we got to go there and we got to pretend to be reporters and we got to go into this party. So we went and faked that we were with NBC News. And they were like, you're with NBC. Cause I'm like wearing a hat. Like, I'm just like, look like a blonde guy. I'm like, yeah. And I had like a microphone. We brought real like news cameras and we went in and he's like, they're not doing interviews. I was like, no, I told his handlers, like, we have a scheduled interview. Like, we scheduled this ahead of time. Just like completely lied. I was like, we scheduled this interview. We need to talk. And they like put me off on the side with David Hogg.
Oh my gosh.
And I like had a very, it's on YouTube. It went very viral. And I was like, I was really serious in the beginning with like the microphone talking to him. And then I just like snuck in like 3 minutes into the interview. I was like, so just to clarify, David, some people say that you were not there at the school when the shooting happened. Like, what do you have to say about that?
Gosh.
Immediately his handlers like grab the camera. They you see us like they were running the cameras down, like, who are you with? Who are you really with? And we trolled David Hogg at his own gathering.
I love it.
That guy. Anyway, can you bring him back on the screen? You actually are right. We have a lot going on here. We got the thigh. I feel bad because I guess he doesn't do arm day or leg day. Is this attractive to women, Savannah? Is this, what's going on here? Is he transgender?
You know, the first thing I think when I see this picture is, this is who I want to have children with. This is who I want to repopulate the earth with. So, yes, the one-legged crocheted jumpsuit in the middle of the woods while barefoot is definitely the way to go.
Starting and failing a pillow company will really take its toll on you. And I think that that's what we're seeing here. I don't know like what that did to him, but geez.
Also, like, there's no bulge.
Well, maybe he's transitioning. Don't be rude, Elijah.
He's lacking in a lot of departments. I'm just going to say, I feel bad for the guy. We do pray for David Hogg, but obviously the only thing I can say is I have a forehead the size of him. But you know, you've met him too. I mean, these people are all retarded. They literally are. Yep. David Hogg is a textbook example of somebody who legitimately has no direction, no personality. He was just involved in a crisis. Some people call him an actor. I'm not saying he's an actor, but in the end, it's individuals like this that I think are at the headstone of what's wrong in our country. It's not that people want to take advantage of our nation, lie to our nation, use people like this. It's the fact that people like David will answer that call, will take the money from the people, and will do the evil deeds and speak and spew the lies. He's the spokesperson for the evil people.
Well, not only that, but I think it's a symptom of the higher ups, I guess, whatever you want to call them in the left, that prop up these sort of, you know, crisis cases. And they take these children that are victims of trauma or whatever it is and make them in to their heroes and make them into, manipulate them to use them for whatever cause they want. You see this with David Hogg. You see this with Greta Thunberg. It's the left using children for their own gain.
Yeah, it's something the right never does. Like, I could never imagine like Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy, being like, hey, there was a tragedy. Like, get one of the teenagers involved and let's like set him up. Let's send him to Harvard. Let's like get him out doing speaking tours.
Yeah, you know what was the... You know what was the weirdest thing ever? I was at a Stop the Steal rally in Washington, D.C. in November of like 2020. And David Harris Jr. was like we were like in front of the Supreme Court and we were mad because, you know, it was the most fair and free election ever and no one stole it. Right. So we were stopping the steal. We were basically advocating against crime in California. And we were like there and it was a really somber moment. We were pissed. We were so angry. And he was like, he plugged his MyPillow promo code after we prayed in front of like 10,000 people. It's pretty, I gotta respect it. All right, let's talk about some crazy stuff today. So we have some more insane things. So apparently now, I know you guys have heard a lot about the genders. We have unlimited genders. We have unlimited sexualities. These are what are happening. So there is this new normalization of individuals to bring in what was traditionally called multiple personality disorder, this idea of multiple personalities. And now it is becoming normalized that it is normal to be a different person every day and to expect people to accept it. And this girl has over 100 alternate personalities. Savannah, can we go ahead and play this?
Hi, my name is Lana, and I'm probably going to be answering the majority of the questions we get today. So, yeah. So we did an alter count, I think, a day or two ago, and we have 271 alters at this point. And the second part of the question, it depends on what you mean by active. If you mean people who are not dormant, that is all 271. 271 is not including our dormant alters. No idea how many dormant alters we actually have. I'd have to ask like a gatekeeper or something. But if you mean people who front regularly, that'd be about probably like 40 or 50 of us. Because we have a lot of people, obviously, who just like don't front that often. So yeah, I hope that answers your question.
What?
No. I'm a little confused.
I have more questions after listening to that. I'm so confused.
You know, I'm a little.
I didn't know it was that bad. I'm sorry, guys. I was still like, the videos come on. I was like, I don't remember. That was, I sent that to you probably 3 a.m, Savannah. I'm sorry about that.
I'm cautious to be too critical like towards these people because they're obviously suffering and they're obviously not in a good place in their lives. I think the real problem I have is the people enabling this type of behavior and telling them like, oh, that's great. You know, continue with your 100 personalities. Like, why are people enabling this type of behavior? It's not loving them when you continue to enable this craziness. Because like I said, clearly this person is suffering. She's overweight. She's sticking metal in her face everywhere. I mean, they need help. What's going on?
She's a trans fat.
Yeah, it's weird. And it's like, I've been banned from TikTok and like many of my videos have been taken off where I'm saying like very uncontroversial, kind of popular mainstream conservative ideas and they get taken out. But then you have someone who's like clinically mentally ill and like clearly, you know, going through some stuff and TikTok's like, let's promote this. Let's put this on the For You page and blast this out to everyone.
Well, what strikes me as interesting, Savannah, I think maybe you noticed this, if you can put it back on the screen for a second, is that when we have people like this, is that you notice that everything is connecting to the LGBTQ, right? Like we now have the poop LGBT flag and they put brown on it, the poopy flag. So we have the poopy flag that they've made. And if you guys don't know what I'm talking about, go look up the new LGBTQ flag. It just keeps adding a lot of colors and everything. But what started to happen, we saw this. So then I feel like we're at the precipice of helping people understand these things. Because I remember like last year when we started talking about neurogenders and tying autism to sexuality and which we rest in peace, John Doyle. But also the fact is that we were going like, this is new. Like this is developing. People say, why do we talk about this stuff? Like what's the purpose of telling people? I go, because this is where this is America. This is our culture. And basically I can say this now, what happens on TikTok today is America tomorrow. I'm not joking. This is like where we're at.
This
as a
is
country.
Now your child's preschool teacher.
Yeah, exactly. Like this is somebody, this guy, whatever they are. Dude, also like, can we just say the top of the cleavage chest to neck ratio? That is some serious, I played football there when I was a kid, but like, without picking them apart because it's mean, but I am okay being mean to these people, is that it scares me because what is now they're saying is that like mental illness, like we've been saying they're mentally ill, we're called bigots for calling them mentally ill, and then now they're saying actually being mentally ill is a part of being queer and gay. Like it says like she has the flag in the background and they're literally like they're just saying what we've been saying. It was mean last year to call these people mentally ill. I got a video deleted too for calling these people mental, and now they're saying, hey everyone, guess what? We are mentally ill. I have 271 personalities and it's tied to my sexuality. And I'm like, we've known for a while.
Oh, it's such a humiliation ritual. I think Darren Beatty coined the term the globalist American empire, but that's really what the LGBT flag is nowadays. You have it being flown at consulates around and embassies around the world. You know, our military is now gay. Our football is gay. Everything is becoming mentally ill and that's what it really is.
Literally. No, but you know this too. It's like it's interesting. That's, it's like, well, why do we talk about this? Is it just because we want to laugh? It's like, well, yes, that's objectively true. And it is funny, but it's in a funny way of watching our country completely fall apart. Guys, if you really knew how bad it was, it's not good. And you deal with these retards every day on TikTok.
Oh yeah. I have a lot less sympathy because I came into this and I'm like, you know what? This could be like, you know, a grandchild of mine that ends up all messed up. This could be a cousin of mine. But then I interact with these people and I see the video replies they make to me and the comments they make. And I see these people after me like all the time. And I'm like, okay, yeah, right. We're at war with these people. And I hope that they get better. But the reality is like they've sunken so low that sometimes it's like, you know, you guys just need to be dealt with as people who are clinically ill and hate us for who we are.
Elijah, I think I saw you tweet the other day or something that your clown pill prescription has expired. And I think I'm in the same boat as you. Like, it's funny. It's funny. It's funny. And then I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Do you need to re-up on your prescription? it's like, dude, he's got, you know, I've always called these are penis arms, like the veiny, like thin, like shafty arms. It's just, this guy was like, what color should I wear? He got the entire paint palette. It's crocheted. It's weird. It's somebody loaded this voluntarily. This is what's the problem is that it's not like we are going to a mental asylum filming like gay retarded people and making fun of them. That is mean, right? It's like these people are going out there filming themselves and then saying, I'm gay and retarded. And also, you're a bad person if you don't accept this as being what you want for your life. And I reject it. To the entire community, I solemnly swear before God and the testimony of my friends here in this room that we reject you entirely. And I know Savannah, she had told me that she's with David Hogg and all this stuff, that she told me that she was feeling the temptation with Christ. She was feeling very turned on. Mm-hmm. She told me, she said the light isn't the only thing that's shining brightly right now. And I just got to say, when you see men like this, when you see whatever the other young boy, that fat boy that we just looked at on the thing, what goes through your head, Savannah? Cause I feel like you have a lot of thoughts and you don't share your thoughts about the thoughts.
Yeah. You know, I really don't, because there's a part of me that feels like it's just mean to talk about these people. But, you know, all I can truly say is this is the pinnacle of health. This is the pinnacle of both mental and physical femininity in the modern day. And every single woman should really strive to be this. And we can never peak as a society truly until we all look this way and have over 100 personalities truly.
It's dangerous too. Because, you know, I talk about this quite often on my live streams that generally—
Where can people find your live streams?
Odyssey.com/@AJ_Wilms. One of the developers from Odyssey like messaged me and he's like, thanks for the shout out. So very tight knit community.
Oh, great, cool. Shout out to Odyssey.com. You can find me too, Elijah Schaefer.
There you go. But yeah, I talk about this quite often that women generally speaking are much more sociable than men, which is why like what it means to be a man has been fairly consistent from today till like, you know, caveman days. It's like, be strong, be a provider, be tough, be courageous. That's what it means to be a man. We've had like a lot of like subversion of like, no, be a soy boy, be that. And it's like, for the most part, men seem pretty straightforward on what it means to be a man. Whereas woman, you can look at like the last 100 years of American history, how much it's fluctuated on what it means to be like a good woman in America, from being chaste to being like a stripper, to being like waiting till marriage, to going on OnlyFans, to barking at one another on the street, pretending to be dogs. So it's dangerous to see that when women in our country are being targeted like this, being told this is the new normal, this is how you should act, you should have 20 different genders and never marry men and work, you know, till the rest for the rest of your life. That is very dangerous.
Yeah. Can I just say this? It's always sad too. Hot, crazy scale. Like I look at that and like, I just feel like that woman has served me salty wings at Applebee's before, you know, like I've seen that person in my life a million times. But then the barking girls, this is what frustrates me is that as women degenerate and become more and more whatever's going on here, I don't know what to say. In some ways, it's just like, okay, I'm going to stop.
You know, I think the real, I think nobody's talking about this. The real disturbing part of that video is that that girl was left on a leash, clung to that railing. Where is her boyfriend?
Unattended, no water or anything.
Yeah. I mean, but do we call the cops or do we call PETA? I don't know.
I don't know. Savannah, what do you think?
PETA, for sure. In this situation, PETA. Yeah.
Okay, let's move on. We also have this, whatever video two is, let's play it.
Looks like one of my professors.
Okay.
It's a very long video.
Isn't this same person from the last video?
Maybe.
Just without makeup.
This is another alt. Yeah. No, this is just one of her alts.
Yeah,
right?
for the blind viewers who can't see this, this is Watch Out When a Little is Angry. So, okay, so this is a community called the Little Community. Now, the irony in the name is already, if you've seen this person hasn't seen their neck in 12 years, okay? And I'm imagining this is when gender does become confusing. When you go to the bathroom and you can't tell what your gender is because you haven't seen your privates in like, you know, in a decade. No wonder why you don't know who you are. And I do point this out because everyone always goes, well, why do you point out their, why do you point out their physicality? Why do you talk about how they look? And this is a very interesting theory that's important, is this idea of physiognomy. There's this one guy, the intellectual embargo, who makes really great videos, and he has this really great dissertation that is pretty amazing on this concept. John Doyle actually sent it to me originally, and he talks about the idea of the correlation very, very in depth over history, over thousands of years, between how you look and basically how you act and you behave. And this idea that if you are full of evil and evil input, you show it on your face. A good example of this, so people don't think I'm lying, would be like a meth addict, right? You've ever seen like the faces of meth, where over the years, it's not just the meth itself that is making the person go crazy. They get mental, they start ripping their hair out, they start picking at their skin, they have scabs, etc. And they start to look crazy, right? They were crazy from the meth originally, but the insanity begins to affect their appearance. And so there is this idea, when you see somebody who looks like that, the point is that they don't care about, like, they're hurting. Nobody that's, and I want to be compassionate for a second. Nobody that's that big, right? Nobody that looks like this is happy. Like, this looks like a 1982 standard lesbian in like East Texas. But I also will say, with Stuart Little's older brother haircut, and
the missing teeth,
the sucking on the bottle, which is probably the closest thing she can get to suck at this point, which is actually probably the best thing for her. And she's there. You go, there's no way that you are a happy person and that you are enjoying your life. And so then what do? You get mental, you get isolated, you go crazy, and you're looking for acceptance from a community that will accept you. Like, that's not the real world, right? That is okay with this. And then you end up thinking that you are a baby. Now, sadly for her, like, not everyone can be Savannah's size and just be the size of a child. Some people are the size of a planet. Like, I feel like she has a gravitational pull. Like, I feel like she has her own moon orbiting around her.
No, I think you're right that you have to approach these things with compassion. And it's like I said with the other girl, I'm cautious to be too critical of them, because what I think that they are, and this is a big category, I call them victims of tolerance, right? They enter these communities that preach tolerance and that says you can be fat and you can be a furry and you can, you know, like little kids and you can do this. That is not love. You know, the opposite of tolerance is not intolerance. It's having conviction and standing up for things that you believe in. I mean, tolerance is clearly eroding these people's entire lives. Tolerance is giving them obesity. It's giving them mental illness. And, you know, like Elijah said, we have to have some compassion, because I do, you know, want to look out for people like this. I love these people as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. But, you know, tolerance is not love. It's the opposite of love. And you have to be real with these people and say, this is not right. Let's fix it. I reject what they are doing, and I will never accept this as something to be tolerated.
And victims is a good term, because, you know, like I said before, they're targeting, let's say, women. They're also, like you said, targeting children too, with the LGBT stuff and all this other stuff. Like the person on the screen, both of them, in fact, all of them, the dog people, the alt person and the baby person, all of them are quite young. It's not like there's a lot of like 40-year-old, you know, businessmen doing things like this. And there's a specific reason for that.
Yeah. You know, and honestly, if you guys don't know, last night, AJ got me some wine as a gift, which was really actually very nice. A good bottle, 2016. Nice.
I'm gonna need to try some of that. A big wine connoisseur.
Yeah, you Italian. Actually, I was gonna say, I'll split a bottle with you. But I have to say, you know, it's not the best thing always to drink a lot. But sometimes when you watch videos like this, sometimes you just need a bottle of wine. And I got to talk to you about First Leaf, which is the amazing service that helps select and curate wines for you that are both delicious. If you don't have an AJ Wilms that's gonna come to your studio and curate and bring you a Bordeaux and actually pick it out for you, then let's talk about First Leaf. So First Leaf winemakers sample 10,000 wines a year across 5 continents and 12 countries and select only the best bottles for the club. You know, actually, AJ Wilms works for First Leaf and he will pick out wine for you. No, I'm just kidding. But First Leaf's even better. Check this out. Rather than having a 22-year-old try to pick out a bottle, how about you go to an expert? First Leaf believes wine is personal. They create a custom wine print for each member and maps their vast portfolio of wines to each person's unique taste preference once you take their 5-minute quiz. For instance, I use First Leaf. I am stocked with the wine. Aldo's going to be watching my house this weekend while I'm in South Carolina. And guess what? You get to enjoy whatever selection you want, a fine curated wines that are sitting on the counter for you. Are you excited?
Hey, don't expect to come back to your house with any full bottles.
That's true. That's true. So I love the fact they gave me a lot of reds recently because I wanted some reds. It's winter. I like more whites in the summer, but now it's like winter. I want a couple of really good cabs, etc. And it's amazing. Anyway, celebrate your special firsts and the moments that count with First Leaf. And maybe that moment is just having to watch this show and then needing to pop a bottle. Always drink responsibly. And the wine club is designed to help you discover new wines that you'll love, personalized to your taste and delivered to your door. Join today and get six bottles for $29.95. And I'm sure you've seen wine is expensive, AJ. Oh, yeah. So $29.95 for six amazing bottles with free shipping.
Unbeatable.
Unbeatable. So also remember too, even if you don't drink, maybe you have a friend that does. It's a great gift. It really is. Go try firstleaf.com/offensive. That is try TryFirstLeaf.com/offensive to get 20, six bottles for $29.95 with free shipping. Here's a toast to first. May you enjoy them with the people you love from the first sip to the last. TryFirstLeaf.com/offensive. That's TryFirstLeaf.com/offensive. So like I said, you know, it's, there's only so much wine you can drink before you get degenerative liver disease and you die in a hole, which is probably a good thing. So it's like wine is best, you know, taken with taste and in moderation, et cetera, right? So it's like you have to take in moderation. Now, the same thing goes with TikTok. It's like kind of like alcohol, where it's right. Like it can be both addicting and it can be a cope, and it can block out the life and you can really like tune out, but it can also degenerate your brain. And so sometimes I watch these videos and I lose hope in the world. And I want to say this. I think we'll probably play it the first minute or two. There is a family that is out there, and I hope I'm wording this correctly, whose wife, it's a husband whose wife is now his husband. So just track with me here.
I feel like Zach Galifianakis with all the numbers behind him, like Harry the One, the wife,
And whose daughter is now their son. So they have like a transgender, I've already told you, as I reject the premise of transgenderism. I don't believe it exists. But also, for the sake of this show, I think, Sav, we have this, right? Like the first minute or two?
Yes.
Okay, so let's just watch this together. And this was my long intro about needing to drink. This guy deserves a bottle of wine. He has to lose this. Let's watch this.
I was assigned female at birth. Did not align with me. I really tried to like embrace that role that was expected of me. Wife, mother. Oh my goodness. I didn't start transitioning for a couple years after Hazel was born. Hazel was assigned female at birth a year ago. He was displaying a lot of distress and anxiety around feminine terminology. One day, I just randomly asked him if he felt like a boy or a girl, both or neither. He said he was a boy.
Do you think that your transition has affected Hazel's situation with gender?
Yeah, I definitely think some aspect of my transition has had an influence. It'd kind of be hard for it not to.
I need my apron. Go grab it. I think it's in your closet.
My gender journey, that's an interesting one. I was assigned female at birth. Did not align with me, even though in my early childhood, I always felt disconnected and I couldn't put my finger on why.
Do you want to maybe add chocolate chips to your pancakes?
Yes!
Yes!
All right, take this off. Take it off. I don't want to see this anymore. I already lost enough hope in the world. Okay, so there's a lot to break down here. Let's just start in the beginning here. Number one, here's what we got a lot of truth out of this video. I'm actually grateful for this video because we finally have a transgender person saying, does your choices as a transgender choosing person, does it affect children? And do you feel like it's influencing the next generation to copy you? And this person said yes.
Yeah, I think there's a couple other things that I caught in that I want to touch on. You know, the first thing she says that her son was feeling a lot of stress about these gendered pronouns. And another thing that she was feeling stress because of her responsibilities to fulfill these gender roles. And I think that's the real problem, that stress and, difficulties fulfilling certain responsibilities is like, okay, now I have to become a woman or I have to become a man. Growing up and becoming a sane person in society, that is stressful, right? That takes work. And I think nowadays it's like, oh, if I feel a little bit of stress, let me slap myself with some SSRIs or let me take a pill or let me, you know, transition to another gender. Where did this idea that fulfilling responsibilities shouldn't be part of your life. I mean, fulfilling roles and having that stress that comes with becoming a functioning member of society, that is difficult, that is tough. But at the end of the day, once you do it, you'll be a more fulfilled person. And I think this is a complete rejection of that idea. And we're drifting further away from that every day.
Yeah. I think something that I noticed is a lot of people don't understand or don't think about this. You know, there is a special bond between a child and a parent where kids really only trust their parents, especially like you look at the kid in this video, like 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. These children really have no one to trust except their parents. And when you have a parent talking to their child and using the sacred bond and manipulating it to further their own political beliefs or be like, hey, maybe you're a girl, Timmy, that's really a problem, because it's not like you're talking to an 18-year-old who has friends and maybe a girlfriend or boyfriend they can talk to, or, you know, people they trust at school. This is a small child and their entire world depends on listening to their parents. So there is that particular bond that's being taken advantage of.
Yeah. And, you know, first of all, I love that they always like put a picture like with the test, the testosterone, like they someone's like, ee! And I'm like, hey, yo, let me get some of that. You know, like, I'm like, hey, like, I swear I might become a thief. Like, I need to be to befriend more transgender people because I need some testosterone. But it is actually funny, though, because I also to be serious about this is like, the more I think about it, gender is confusing for everybody, theoretically speaking, because we're all kind of learning what it means to be who we are, because we live in a society that has made it confusing. Like, it shouldn't be confusing, but we don't have a lot of good examples of what like a man is, right? Because there's all this like self-help, what it means to be a man mentality, but like, it's almost like to be a man, like this is why I love the internet, because it's like the internet will be like, oh, here's what a man is. This is what a man is. This is what a man is. But really, like, what I've learned what a man is like, you really don't, no one's authority over you. You have authority over your own life. You put your, you subject that authority to God only. God is that authority. You have mentors in your life, people who are wise, who have gone through life before you to help steer you in the right direction. You surround yourself with a few good, like maybe one or two good guys that are, you know, somewhat around your age that can help bounce things off of. And then you get married, you lead your life, you go out, we're going to work on having kids. You create your own destiny. You go out and you carve an impact in the world, and you don't take shit from people. And you actually, you go out there and you control your strength. So you're like, you become wild first and then learn how to be controlled. Joe Rogan put it as a good example, is that it's better to be a warrior in a garden than to be a gardener in a war. Meaning like, you want to go be strong and wild first and then pull back and then put yourself into a safer place. But you still got to become a warrior, go out and fight. And it's like, you know, people always are talking about, what does it mean to be a man? Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. And when I was younger, I think because like my, you know, me and LD have the same voice, people would make fun of me. You know, everyone's, oh, you're gay, you're this, you're that. And, you know, to this day, we've talked about last night, my left ankle is gay. So that's true. But also the fact is like, you know, I was always like, people always were trying to tell me, here's what it means to be a man. And I noticed all guys are always compensating for it. Like, they're trying to be this man and they're trying to be something they're not. But it's like, when you go out there, that's just part of life. Like, figuring out what it means to be a man or to be a woman, figuring out what it means in your life to have and to be something, that's part of a woman's journey. Kez told me the same thing the other day. She was like, I've never was a wife before. I'm figuring out what it means to be a woman. I'm figuring this out. So it's like, it is a journey and you're constantly adapting, right? Because even if you knew what it meant to be a man when you were single, then you get married and you got to refigure out what it means to be a man. What does it mean to be a husband? What does it mean to be this? What does it mean to be that? And so it's like when you go to a kid and at the first onset where they actually need to try to like confront and battle with the question of like, what does it mean to be who I am? You tell them it means to change who you are and to become the other thing. Do you think that the gender confusion is going to stop? No, you're making it worse because you can't change genders. So now you've created a lifetime of depression, of confusion. Like, the answer to someone who doesn't know what it means to be, which I think they were born a girl, to what it means to be a little girl, the answer is not become a boy. It's let me help you understand what it means to feel like a girl. Like, I'm just saying, it's so up. It's retarded.
No, you're totally right. And that's why I call these people victims of tolerance, because tolerance is teaching them to have no roadmap. You know, like you said, it's okay to be confused and to figure out what it means to be masculine, but you need to have, you know, definitions of what it is so that you have a roadmap and something to pursue and something to, you know, to strive for. And tolerance is telling them that none of that exists, that you should just be free floating, do whatever you feel that day. But where does that leave them? It leaves them empty. It leaves them mentally ill and leaves them in the state that they're in.
fallen state.
But also, you know, you see this in, you see this rejection in the breakdown of certain institutions. You know, when I was a young guy growing up, you know, my dad and I went to this thing called a Man's Quest, and it was a group of sons and their fathers. And once a week they would read the Bible and we would talk about what it means to be a man, you know, not having promiscuous sex, you know, fulfilling your roles in the community, doing, you know, service, whatever it is. I'm an Eagle Scout as well, you know, and I—
Are you an Eagle Scout?
I am an Eagle Scout. Thank God I got my Eagle Scout the year before they started letting in women. But that is another attack on masculinity. You know, men need a place that is exclusively for men so that they can hash out the confusing parts. I mean, when I was in the Boy Scouts, there was a lot of weird kids. I was a weird kid, okay? We're figuring things out. What does it mean to be a boy growing up? How do I control these feelings that I have going through puberty, whatever it is? But you have other men there to guide you and to teach you what to do and how to control these emotions. Like you said, Elijah, you're wild. You have all these things that you don't know what to do with, but you need guys to teach you, here is how you use that for good, not just for yourself, but for everybody. You know, and in regard to this young boy or girl,
I think it's a girl that is being raised like they're a boy.
It's so sad, and it's such abuse. Again, it's the victims of tolerance, because every childhood is normal, right? Because there's no frame of reference. Whatever you grow up with, to you, it seems normal because you have no perspective of, is this weird? Is it different? It is normal. That's all you know. And so this person will forever grow up thinking that that's normal. And when you attack that, or when you try to reject it later in life, it feels like an attack at them because it's a lived experience, right? And that's what makes it very difficult to challenge these opinions later in life. And so it's really, really sad to see these young kids being taken advantage this way.
Yeah, absolutely. And oh my gosh, that speech was so good. I had my own point, but I totally forgot it. I was so engaged in that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, now I'm not, I didn't know you were an Eagle Scout either.
I know, I'm sitting over here as a woman, like, Scouts that was honor. A beautiful speech about men.
Sav's, yeah. Sav's over here, like, right. Being like, hey, propose to me now. Or Sav, no. What is that? That's actually kind of like, that's not even around anymore. Like, being an Eagle Scout almost doesn't matter anymore because they've ruined the Boy Scouts. It used to be such an honor and respectful thing.
Totally.
An Eagle Scout, even on a resume, was like, you're an Eagle Scout, because it was like, you're a guy who, instead of just like partying and, you know, sleeping around, you went and you lived your life of discipline and you got all these, did all these things. And now it's like the Boy Scouts, you just think of like child molesters and it being ruined by women. Like,
no,
everything
it sucks
in the world.
And it's kind of tarnished. I don't want to say tarnished because, you know, when I went through it, I think it was still pure and still what it was meant to be. But I originally rejoined. I was in the Boy Scouts as a young kid, and then I quit it because I didn't really have direction. I kind of wasn't really into it. And I rejoined it as, I think I was an eighth grader or a freshman, because I was feeling lost and I was feeling without a sense of purpose. And I was talking to a counselor of mine at church camp, actually, and he was talking to me about the Boy Scouts and how cool it was to use your talents and, you know, use these things that you have to try to become something. And so that's why I really rejoined it and got my Eagle Scout in 4 years, because I wanted a purpose, right? I wanted to use myself for the good. And I'm really, really proud that I was able to do that while it was still, you know, untarnished by women.
I was in Royal Rangers. Do you know what Royal Rangers is?
No.
It's the non-child molester Christian version of Boy Scouts. So, I mean, I'm joking, but it literally is. They like basically invented their own version. And I got to say, to the guys that were in there, thank you, because it almost equates to child abuse. Like, I'd go on these like camping trips, and it would like, and I remember like telling the person, like, because this is like early 2000s, late 90s. So this is like when there's still, you could do this stuff and actually be tough on kids, and it wasn't considered abuse, and it was actually helpful. Like some of the best role models of like men that helped me to like just be bold or be braver were like in the Royal Rangers. And what it was is like, I remember like we'd go camping, and like, I was always very deathly afraid of people. My biggest fear was speaking to strangers. I was shy. I didn't like talking in front of people. And I know it's hard to believe now, but I was so like scared. I remember I had to go on this camping trip with the Royal Rangers, and I was like, dude, this is horrible. It's called a powwow. And I'm like, that's probably illegal to call it a powwow now. That's probably been outlawed. And like, there was like moments where like, I remember they like, I didn't tie a knot fast enough. So they made me like wake up at 5 a.m. and like do the dishes for breakfast and like cook breakfast. I'm like 10 and like put my hand, I was like, it's boiling the water. The way they made me do dishes was put a metal pot over a flame, boil the water, and then wash dishes in boiling water, which did burn my hands, by the way. And no, I'm pink only because my mother was a lobster, but also the fact is that I was like, dude, this, I remember telling them, like, I look back and I'm like, I was right. That was boiling water. And it was a crime. My hands were like swollen. But it taught me though. It was like, better tie that knot. Right, next time.
It teaches responsibility. Yeah. And like liberalism is like run away from responsibility. And that's with this whole transgender thing. It's like, it's too hard to be a man. Well, just don't be a man then. Just run away from all the challenges that come along with that. Thinking it would be easier just to become a woman. And, you know, you can think back to even like Christ, a perfect person who walked this earth. And did he have a, you know, struggleless life? No, he faced some of the most adversity that anyone will ever face. I'm not going to go through all the hardship that Christ did. I'm not nearly as good as him though. And I look to that and I say, no one is deserving of a stress-free, perfect life, not even the perfect man.
No, and I think, you know, what they said is that this, you know, this kid had stress growing up, but at the end of the day, like you said, you're going to endure stress and responsibility no matter what you do. And, you know, like Elijah said, the next time you probably tied that knot, you were stressed, but when you finally were able to do it, you felt a sense of accomplishment and you felt like you worked towards something and you did it. And that feeling is something that people aren't even pursuing anymore. You know, they're just rejecting it altogether, right? Like you can avoid stress, like you said, and just do the easy thing and eat Doritos all day and sit on your couch and not wake up early, but you're going to feel empty, right? We did the same thing. Woke up at 5 a.m. and did the polar plunge. It sucked. I was stressed. It wasn't fun, but I feel a lot better at the end of the day than somebody that's like, well, I feel stressed. I'm going to sit home and play video games all day.
Facing struggle like head on, there's something about that like really speaks to like man, right? And probably woman as well. But I remember when I was in university, I did ROTC and waking up like every morning at 5 a.m. and doing PT like every single day. There was something, it sucked, but I look back and I'm like, that was like some of the best time of my life.
Totally.
Like just embracing the suck and being in that struggle and overcoming and going through these things.
Yeah, funny. Okay, it's a funny story. I know people, this is hard to believe that I've never fit in anywhere in life ever.
What?
I know. It's shocking. I've always been a little too weird for everything. And I got to tell you guys an amazing story. But first of all, I am looking for Joe Byron. Guys, guess what? Bing bong. Paint your life.
Oh, jeez.
Paint your life. Bing bong. So check this out. I got my paint your life photo. Let me move. This is... Alex Jones on a naked mole rat posing like a French girl on a stove. And yes, they were not sure if we were serious that we wanted this painted, but damn, this is such a good painting. This looks better than the actual image that we sent them. And it's so detailed and so perfect. It proved to me that this company, which can take any image or montage of images and turn them into an actual painting, can literally do anything. And I mean, to the best product ever. And the frame. It's a nice wood frame. It's going up in the studio. It's exactly what I asked for. And it's like, Savannah, were you shocked with the quality of, like, I know we knew the company was good, but weren't you shocked about how absolutely perfect this was?
It was a beautiful picture. It's absolutely perfect. I mean, again, you look at the actual picture that we sent in and you look at the painting, exactly the same.
No, it's so perfect, guys. So what Paint Your Life does is basically they take anything that you want and they put it into a painting. They have tons of artists you can work with. It's so much faster than I thought. And I'm telling you, like, I'm actually gonna be ordering more stuff from them. I've told so many people about them. I mean, it's pretty cool. If you think about it, like I've told you guys, it's like, well, I have digital pictures. Dude, trust me, we got to go back to like to tradition and like get some painted pictures, get them around. It's amazing. And so take, whether it's your anniversary or a wedding picture, like, guys, that's such a great gift, right? Valentine's Day is coming up. Get a wedding picture or like your first date or something and get it painted, give it to you, or, you know, even to your mom or to whoever's out there and take a memory and put it into something that will last forever. You're never going to throw away a painting like this. It's absolutely amazing. At paintyourlife.com, there's no risk. If you don't love the final painting, you get your money refunded, which is kind of why I like this company, because it's like, you can't lose. If you get your money back, you can't lose. It's guaranteed. And right now, as a limited time offer, get 20% off your painting, which is amazing. That's right, 20% off and free shipping. To get the special offer, text the word offensive, that's OFFENSIVE, to 64,000. That's 64,000. That's offensive to 64,000. Text offensive to 64,000. Paint your life. Celebrate the moments that matter most. This is a disclaimer. There are terms apply, available at paintyourlife.com/terms. Again, that's paintyourlife.com/terms, but text offensive to 64,000 and find out how to get a picture. I'm going to put that up one more time because I'm so proud of this. Like, my TV behind me even dims. LG's OLED TV doesn't even work as good as a picture. Guess what doesn't dim? This brightens my day. AJ, don't you love this?
Oh, it's something.
I just would like to say, everybody go look up Peter Saul. This looks like a Peter Saul painting. He's a pop artist in the 60s. Wow. It He does like political paintings. That is beautiful. It looks amazing.
The quality is very high.
Yeah, well, that's it really is. Anyway, text offensive to 64,000. So I was gonna tell you the story is that, like, so I had some friends that were training to join the SEALs, and I don't know if anyone knows this, but I'm like probably not Navy SEAL material. Savannah, I know you're shocked, right? Did you know this?
I am shocked. I feel like you could pick me up and throw me across the room. Truly, you're a big guy.
I don't want to hear your fantasies. I don't want to hear Savannah. This is a children's show. It's a children's show. That was bold for her.
Well, it's also not saying much. What do you weigh, like 60 pounds?
No, Sav? I know. Sav, what do you weigh? 3.5 kilos? But I'm actually saying that, no, it's true that this is what you think. Now, they were doing a SEAL training, like exercise for the fitness test at the beach. All I can say is I woke up after passing out on the sand and being fed orange juice, and I've never felt so horrible. Dude, I don't know what that was. You'd have to like swim out, then like lay under the water, let the waves crash over you, then do like push-ups in the water, then swim back out further, then come back, then run down the beach. I didn't know what was going on, but I'm happy to say I think I made it through like 30% of the training before I actually lost consciousness. I was not prepared. Me totally retarded. Hey, do you want to go to a Navy SEAL fitness training at like 5 a.m. at SEAL Beach? Oh yeah. Sure. Let's go do that. I didn't know. Like, I'm just thinking like, oh yeah, like SEALs. I like them. I've seen them at the zoo. They're freaking cool. You feed them fish. And holy crap, I have this newfound respect for Navy SEALs. Cause like that fitness training, I think you needed to have a pre-fitness for that fitness.
Yeah.
Because I had to go to the hospital because I had like lactic acid. Like it was like my whole body got stiff. Like that's what happened.
Oh my God.
Dude, it was I've never seen training like that in my life. Like it was so intense, and it was like, cause I was oxygen deprived. So I got lactic acid buildup from like swimming and then coming back and then being under the water, and I wasn't breathing. Apparently that's what the doctor said. So there was like no oxygen in the body. And I was like, wow. Okay. Newfound respect, Navy SEALs. I salute you because I got through 30% of your training and I passed out.
You thought you were like going down to La Jolla to like just SEAL watch. You end up on the beach. You wake up in the hospital. No, what the hell did I just do?
Dude, I know that reminds me of like a first time at a club, but I also am just like, I just realized in the world, I'm saying that like things are tough, and part of what trains you and you learn about adversity by like, I never realized how weak I was in that moment until I saw where my limit was. And sometimes being pushed to the point where you question, you don't know what's going on in the world and you want to know, like, it's not where you quit. It's like, that's when I realized like, I need to get into better shape. And I did. And I ended up getting, that was when I was like a young adult, and I ended up, I was like really thin. Actually, I wasn't fat. I was like micro thin, and I ended up like putting on like 30 pounds of like solid weight. I was like 165 pounds, and think about that, I'm 220 now. So I was a very small guy, and I realized like, I need to bulk up, I need to get stronger, I need to start going to the gym and lifting. And I did, and I got in better shape. And then so I'm just saying, like, it's just an interesting thing. And you don't say, oh well, I couldn't do it, I didn't get through, you know, 30% of the training, now I'm gonna quit, never exercise again, and just give up on life. It's like the adversity is what toughens you. It strengthens you. And by confronting your weaknesses rather than avoiding them and running away from them is how you develop as a human. And like you said, with responsibility, nobody's saying that anymore. Like if there's a hard part of your mind, of your mental wellness, of your spirituality, of your addictions, of anything, confront it head on. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah. Amen. That's what I mean. Like with liberalism, it seems to be like run away from the problems. You deserve a perfect life. You deserve happiness. And that's what life is all about. And in traditionalism, it's more like life is struggle, right? And this is true from a biblical worldview. This is true from like a natural worldview or just reality. Like life is a struggle. Life is adversity. And you need to take these things head on and conquer these difficulties. Mm-hmm. That's what life is.
Yeah, I'm going to, if you go to my screen here. Speaking of men, Savannah, can you read this? Can you read this? Because it's so much funnier hearing it in a woman's voice. This is real. This is real.
God. We have the husband, John Reyes, who tweets out, even after a 12-hour night shift at the hospital last night, my wife still has the energy to shovel the driveway. God bless her and all our frontliners. Time to make her some breakfast.
So first thought is that guy has not gotten a blowjob in the last 2 months, 3 months. Like, how can you as a man tweet that out with confidence? What is wrong with you? Do you not... You
Welcome
have no responsibilities. You have no sense of purpose. Like how, that is so emasculating. What is going on?
Well, and the people supporting it, like how many likes did that have? Like, are there people who think this is okay? This is appropriate?
Yeah. The I'm trying to like find something here. Let me see. Something.
No, the responses to this are hilarious. The quote tweets, the commentary on the bottom are just absolutely hilarious. Yeah,
that's what I'm looking for. Making sure.
I mean, Sav, as the only woman in the room right now, like, with if you had a boyfriend that was doing something like you wouldn't have a boyfriend that would do that. That's my point, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What?
No, it's absolutely ridiculous. And I think the even bigger issue with this is that we have degraded as a society so much that this is what women expect from men.
No, I know.
Yeah.
The sad part is too, if we go down here, I think we go down here to the, I love how Lauren Chen is like, put down your phone and shuffle the driveway for her. What the F? And like, and so then Beth Bauman was like, I love Beth. You know what's weird is when you go on the internet and everyone that's everywhere is like friends. I love these people. Beth Bauman's like, I'm not sure what I'd kill my husband for first. Watching me shovel after a 12-hour shift or tweeting about his watching. And then like, it's like, I just love how everyone's like,
the next tweet is like, even after a 12-hour shift at the hospital, my wife still had the energy to sign these divorce papers that she just served to me.
Yeah. And then, even after a 12-hour shift at the hospital last night, my wife still has the energy to pack up my belongings and give me till noon to leave the house. God bless her. I love that. And all the frontliners take time to make her breakfast or time to make her breakfast. He got roasted for it. Cause that's just the whole point is like, dude, and I love when someone uploaded, I don't know if it's in here, but someone like uploaded a picture. Oh yeah, look, her hands look like this, so mine can look like this. I love this. And then also it goes down even further. I'm trying to find my favorite one where someone put up a picture of him and it's like, no, wait, yeah, here it is. Did it crash? Or there you go. I should take a picture. Like just like, that's like literally him right there.
The ratio on that, it almost has what, 100,000 likes.
Yeah, no, legitimately speaking, I just like where the state of men are. And that's what I want to bring this up. A funny thing that I'd like to bring up is if I have it here. Speaking of people actually fighting back against some of this stuff as well, we had a French politician, Stéphane Claireaux. Stéphane Claireaux, I don't know how to say it, who gets trash thrown at him by protesters. I just want to put this, we don't have to put it with sound. I just want to put it on the screen. I thought this was funny because I'm just happy that not everyone is a bitch and that these people are mad about what's going on in France. French protest really well. I'm really proud of them. They burn stuff and they started throwing trash at the politician. And I think you point this out, although they're like, yeah, he didn't move.
I actually respect the hell out of this guy. At least he has conviction for what he does. You know what he did. You know, he's like, hey, that was my decision. You guys hate it, but I'm standing by it. It's a lot more than a lot of politicians can say nowadays.
Yeah, I was happy to see people finally like standing up. Like while people are standing up in their balcony watching their wife shovel the driveway. You already know my thoughts on like women working. I'm not a big fan of it. Unless they work for me. But also, no, it's true. But it's true. Like, I'm not a fan of women working long term. I think especially sometimes when women are young, I think it offsets childbirthing. I think it offsets marriage. I think it causes a lot of problems. And I think that it takes women away from their children, from raising the kids. I think everything's always been about delaying the population and keeping people from starting families, et cetera. So there's always, they discourage young people from getting married. They keep people infantile. They want everyone to work. They want cheap labor, et cetera. Then they keep inflate costs by bringing in immigrants. And then we have no competition for high wages. So then both parents have to work. And then you send your kids to public school. They get indoctrinated. And then you have this cycle and they get molested and then they become gay. But the in the end of all of that, that's their end goal, is to make everyone gay and trans. And then so they can depopulate the earth. That's the whole gay trans agenda, by the way, is a depopulation agenda. It's nothing about sexual liberation and trying to put pee pee and poo poo and things like that. It's the whole, they're not salivating. Like, I just wish people had sexual freedom. It's like, they want less production of children. That's the whole goal.
Yeah. No, I saw this TikTok the other day that I sent to John. I should send it to you after, but it was this guy and he was like thinking about how my grandfather had 8 kids and he only worked one job and he was able to provide for all of us. And his wife didn't have a job. Like, where did that go? And you're like, what do you mean, where did it go? We've imported millions of immigrants. Tens of millions of immigrants, you know, cheap labor everywhere. And it's so funny looking back like 10 years to all these politicians being like, well, you know, immigrants aren't going to make the wages go down because they're going to make new jobs, this, or, and it's like, no, it literally will. It necessarily means that if they have a job, then one less person here won't. And it's like, how can you not figure that out? But I said that to John, I was like, this is what they took from us. Having your wife stay at home, you can have 9 kids and work one job. Is like, I think the guy was like a shoemaker. Like, you can't do that nowadays. Yeah.
Like, he's like, what? I make shoes. and I have a nice car and a nice, and I own my home.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and the immigrants, they import too, that they allow into the country. It really is importation, though, yeah, is obviously low-skilled labor. Like Ann Coulter points this out in her book, Adios America, that they're not importing immigrants who are going to be competing against Mark Zuckerberg or Bill Gates and take their jobs or anything like that. They're not bringing in these CEOs. And even then, I would be opposed to this. But they're bringing in tons of low-skilled and, you know, middle-skilled labor people to replace the middle class and lower our wages, right? They want to bring in coders, and they want to bring in people who are going to be competing against your children and put them out of a job or lower their wages so that they can just make more.
No, and it's like, you see this when you go to like the movie theater or the gas station. It's like, why am I seeing a 60-year-old person give me tickets at the movie theater, right? 40 years ago, it would be the teenagers down the block. It would be the high schoolers giving me movie tickets. Yep. Why are 70-year-olds bussing my tables? That is so horrible to see. They should be at home with their grandkids that they can't have anymore because they can't afford it. But no, seriously, the high schoolers used to run those low wage jobs, and now they just don't exist. We have 50, 60, 70-year-olds in these jobs, and it hurts me to see. I'm like, hey, can I get a, you know, I'm at Leo's Coney Island and I'm trying to order breakfast from a 70-year-old, somebody that would be my grandma. And I'm just like thinking, why are you here?
And it's partially,
this is horrible.
It's also because of the breakdown of the family. Because before, you know, the kids would take care of their parents as they got older. And now it's kind of like you turn 18, you're like, okay, see you, mom. I'll talk to you later. I'll maybe put you in an old folks home one day, you know, and that's kind of like the environment that we have right now.
Right. And make sure to send me $500 a week.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And all of that, guys, as the breakdown of society continues, we do have more episodes of the show coming out later this week. Don't forget that you can also, you can't really see it here, but you can also get our merch at the Blaze merch shop. Link in the description. You can get some of this merch. I had a delay on the new merch, but it's okay because things happen. But you can still get this merch right now at the Blaze shop. Anyway, AJ, where can people follow you if they want to hear more of you? What are the two best places?
Best place to find me. And the second best place to find me is Telegram, t.me/AJ_Wilms, WILLMS.
And we love, if you're not part of the Slightly Offensive Telegram, if you are not a part of it, you should join. And also you can find in the last few posts, go up a little bit, there's a link to his Telegram in there as well. You've got to join the Telegram. It is exploding. It is growing. It is like diarrhea after eating Taco Bell. It's going places and it's inevitable. Aldo, do you want people to follow you anywhere?
I only have private accounts. Yeah, maybe make some public ones later. Who knows?
Yeah, so I figured. And you can follow Savannah or I anywhere. You can find us. You can also follow Sav's podcast, Sav Says, and Rapid Fire. Sav Says on YouTube, Rapid Fire is the podcast name, Savannah. Am I right?
Yes. Thank you.
Sav Says is the YouTube channel. Rapid Fire is the podcast. Anyway, you can also find this audio only. If you make it this far on the podcast, please leave us a review. I'm begging you. I'm asking you, please leave me a review. It's literally, I don't want to buy your Bing Bong Paint Your Life. Okay, then don't leave a review. You have to do it. You have to do it, or I'm going to leak your Chatterbait photos. Okay. Review one comes from the Supreme Bagel. Hey, nice. Bro, you look like pizza, bro.
What does that mean?
That sounds just like that.
That's a reference to John.
Interesting.
John meme. Yeah.
I don't know what that means. Okay. Love the podcast, especially when John's on. Keep doing what you guys are doing. We all need a bit more slightly offensiveness in our lives. Elijah for the red pill, Sav for the Sims, but John for the Chads. It's great. He's the only person I knew who moved here when he was 12 and now became 25. It's 1 year. It was crazy. We love our John, don't we? We do. We really love him. Lindsay Kate Baliff said, Elijah is cool on the show and in person. Best show on the internet. I guess we met. I like knowing I'm not the only retarded person in the movement. It's true. Meaning I'm glad comedy isn't dead on the right. And I'm glad that you must be retarded if you think this is from funny. So good. Good on you. Thanks, Elijah, for the laughs. Thank you guys for leaving a review. Also, remember, if you want to become an official SOB, as we're always teetering on the edge of being canceled, you can sign up at blazetv.com/Elijah for $10 off a Blaze subscription. A lot of you guys have joined. You can stream there. You can get my other show, You Are Here, which is doing excellently. And to remind you guys, I did skirt our ban on Telegram, so you can now comment and get on there if you thought we were banned. We are kind of unbanned, but we're still banned. We just changed our URL, so we're doing pretty good. Anyway, guys, thanks so much to my guests, Aldo Bidazzoni and AJ Wilms, for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. For Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV, my name is Elijah Schaefer, your top 17 host. Have a great rest of the week, and may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.